Roll Over Sid Vicious. A look at the music of the 80s, brought to you with British Telecom, answering to you at Christmas time. Part 1. We don't need no education.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2, from Pink Floyd, the number one record at the end of the 70s and so into the 80s. In this programme, we'll be looking at the development of popular music throughout the decade, as described by some of the leading record producers and specialist music industry figures, people who are closely involved and yet can stand one step back from rock and roll music and so offer a broad view. During my conversations with all the people I spoke to, it became obvious very quickly that before you could look at the music of the 80s, you have to go back to 1976. Although nearly 4 years old by then, in 1980, punk rock, and moreover the attitude it encapsulated, was still very strong. As Martin Rushent, producer of punk hits for many bands, notably the Buzzcocks and the Stranglers, explains.
The punk thing had cleared a lot of crap out of the way, in terms of a lot of dinosaurs had bitten the dust as modern pop or rock artists. While some of them still survive today, they're not viewed as pop stars anymore, they're establishment stars, really. The Frank Sinatras of their generation, if you will. So, I felt at that time that pop music was back under the control of the young generation that was coming up. And pop music is a young person's art form.
Someone who remembers his punk days with great affection is the now highly respectable manager and independent label proprietor, Dave Balfe.
It was what brought me into what was proper the music business. As the cliche goes, music wasn't up to them, and someone had to be almost a trained musician about that, and a lot older, and suddenly a kid could do something that was proper music, even though it was just a horrible noise looking back at it.
And that is an attitude that we'll hear again and again as we go through the decade. Since punk, musical training has not been a prerequisite for making music.
Hey you! Don't watch that! Watch this! This is the heavy, heavy monster sound! One step beyond!
Were one of the most successful acts of the decade, and now are accomplished musicians. But that wasn't necessarily the case back in the early days, as producers Clive Langer and Alan Winstanley told me.
He was playing the sax a semitone out. He didn't know his fingering properly, so he was playing a semitone out and blowing to get in tune. So like One Step Beyond, which was a million-seller single, When you check it out, it's well out of tune. And in fact, the last... Also, it's a bit too short to be a single. And Dave Robinson from Stiff said, I'll have a single out of this. Once more around the houses. So we just edited the last verse onto the end of it and harmonised the whole track to give him an idea of what it would be like. And then we were going to remix it. And he just put that out as a single, and that was a million seller.
So much for punk and the end of the 70s. But like everybody else, musicians and producers have other interests too.
I was becoming very interested in computers at the same time, purely as a hobby, and I bought one of the first PET home computers. Then I saw in 78 an advert that Roland were bringing out this device which could control your synthesizer for you, so you could type in the notes you wanted it to play and it'd do it. And not being the world's greatest keyboard player, I thought, that's brilliant, that's for me.
More than anything else, music in the 80s has been affected and indeed made by the new technology. In a moment, we'll find out about that early 80s electro sound.